All right, well, I'll get you to open up your Bible. Let's open up to the book of Romans. I'm just going to read you the theme verse. Actually, I should ask, who knows what the camp theme is? Sorry? That's the one, Romans. It's funny because it's amazing how many people, when I asked the different speakers if they could produce a talk for the camp, nearly all of them, not nearly all of them, but a number of them came back and said, oh, what's the theme? And I didn't want to say, well, it's on the front of your current newsletter. It's also on the front page of your camp application form. So I just politely, you know, told them what it was, sort of. And this is it, of course, Romans chapter 15, and I want to read this, verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. Well, it's only the first half of that. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. That's the theme for camp, and all the people said. And there's quite a few verses that use that, a very similar phraseology, but this one here is linked to a couple of other things that I want to use during camp, and that I'm hoping others might be able to use during camp. But it's funny because I have only just recently discovered Google Maps. Who uses Google Maps? Am I the last one on earth? Possibly I am the last one on earth to discover it. Perhaps I could go into the Guinness Book of Records, the last white guy that discovered Google Maps. But I've used what I call it NavGirl, a little machine thing on your dashboard, and she tells me where to go and so on and so on and so on. And that was very good, except back a couple of months ago, 6 months ago, I went over to the States to visit my son. And you go to buy the NavGirl USA current map, the updated map, it's like $100. And my son said, you know, why be a nom? Just use Google Maps. I said, oh, I don't know how to use it. And he said, oh, it's easy. And he actually physically showed me. He had to show me how to do it. I didn't know how to do it. And so I've sort of gotten used to it a little bit now, which is good. But the other, quite often, I don't know what I do to it. I do something wrong. Because quite often, the man will be talking to me at the next intersection, turn left, or at the next roundabout, take the third exit, or whatever. And my map, the picture thing, is gone. Who knows what I'm talking about? Four of you. I'm probably the only one that does it then. But the little picture's gone. And I rely visually on the map because I just gotten used to it with the NavGirl, and whom I nicknamed Natalie many, many years ago. And I remember looking and saying, wow, where's my road gone? Now, where's my pathway to where I'm going gone? What did I touch? And I usually blame Leslie. Leslie, what did you touch? You know, and her response is, I haven't touched anything. But I discovered just recently there's a little button. Have you seen the little button down the bottom? It says recenter. Has anyone else discovered that as well? Yeah, five of you, six of you. And for me, that was quite a revelation because you hit that, and what it does is wherever you are on the map, because it's showing you something like where you're nowhere near and there's no little line saying where you're going. It's just kind of showing you like 5 miles away from where you currently are, and it's not moving, it's not changing. You think, what the heck's going on here? But hit the recenter button, and what's good is it just sort of all goes, it all sort of glides across the little screen and it brings you to where you really are when the line comes back on, and I can visualize where I am now and so on and so on. It makes me sound a bit insipid, doesn't it? But it's just... No laughing, please, Margaret. But I'm just pleased I have discovered that button. And I thought, this particular camp, what I'd like to do is just get everybody to recenter. We've got lots of stuff happening in our lives. We've got our jobs. Our jobs are all consuming. I was talking to one of the sisters before the meeting. We've got so much stuff that just crowds in on our life. We've got our kids, our house, our car, our bills. We've got our in-laws, our outlaws. We've got a whole bunch of stuff out there. If you've got an unsaved husband or wife or something or other, well, there's issues sometimes there too as well. And all of these things crowd in on us. And what I love about camp is it's just a time to recenter, press the little magic button and get you back where you need to be in the whole picture of things. Understand where you are, where you're going to, and how you're meant to get there. Because if you can't see it sometimes, you can't quite visualize it. And I guess when I think of recentering, a verse that definitely does that for me is this passage here, Romans 15 and verse 19. Through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. The difference between you and I and perhaps people that we know and associate with, perhaps relatives and friends who go to church or who've never been filled with the Holy Ghost, who never spoke in tongues, is their life is based around religion. Sometimes it's fairly weak sort of religion. It's just a bit of a thing they do once a week sort of thing, or once a month, once a year. For others, it's very intense. You know, some friends you might have, perhaps they're Jehovah's Witnesses, or perhaps they're Seventh-day Adventists, or perhaps they're Christadelphians, or one of the other fairly kind of intensive type groups and so on out there. But either way, the simple message is they have not experienced what this Bible is telling me here, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit of God. And all the people said, we're unique. When I say we, I don't mean you and me in the sense of this group here. I'm talking about those people that have received the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues. Without the Holy Spirit, without speaking in tongues, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. Without speaking in tongues, you haven't got the Holy Spirit. Did I just say that? Yes. And without the Holy Spirit, you haven't spoken in tongues. They go together. They're unified. One's a spiritual experience that happens on the inside. One's a physical experience that you see and hear. As Peter the Apostle said in Acts chapter 2, as people are wonderfully endowed with the Holy Spirit, filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Holy Spirit, immersed in the Holy Spirit, and receive the Holy Spirit. Single experience. That's all it is. You speak in tongues, you've got the Holy Spirit. And from that moment on, miracles happen. Go to Acts chapter 1, if you will, for a moment, because Jesus made this particularly clear. And it does surprise me sometimes when people perhaps haven't read some of these thoughts from the Bible. You've got the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, all of which tell the story of Jesus and the wonderful miracle birth, the Son of God on earth to proclaim the message that he came to rescue us and save us. God loves us. He just wants to bless us. He just wants to help us. He knew we couldn't do it ourselves. He knew we'd never, ever be good enough. So Jesus took the burden for all of us. He paid the price for all of our sin. That's the simple message of the Gospels there. Now, Jesus himself, the Bible records in the book of Acts, was attested to by God with signs and wonders and miracles that he was the Son of God on earth. That was the confirmation. Think of the great leaders of Israel in the centuries gone by. Perhaps Moses, 10 big miracles to get yourself out of Egypt. The big miracle crossing the Red Sea. The big miracle, 40 years of manna arriving 6 days out of seven. Sounds a bit like Amazon, doesn't it? Amazon came to my house yesterday. I couldn't believe it. Anyway, 6 days out of seven. Through miracles. King David, the miracles that he did. A little boy killing a giant. He was a giant in the sense that he was about 9 foot or so. Killing a giant, a warrior character of the Philistines with just a slingshot. Right through the Bible, God's people are attested to by miracles. And in Acts chapter 1, Jesus points out that this manner of conducting the gospel is going to continue on. We know these verses. Verse 5, for John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Verse 8, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem, in all Judea, in Samaria, and unto the uttermost part of the earth. A simple linkage here. I'm going to send the Holy Spirit. It comes with power. Power to be a witness. Power to provide a testimony. Their experience is given to us in chapter 2, verse 4. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. They knew this was going to happen. Jesus had already explained it to them in quite a number of places, but the obvious one, of course, is Mark chapter 16, where Jesus tells them these signs will follow those who believe. And amongst other things, he said, they shall speak with new tongues. It's given to you there, pretty well black and white. And, of course, that's the beginning of the Christian era. And I think Go back, if you will, for a moment or two. Just stay there for a moment or two. What is intriguing is, go across the page, one page across the page, chapter 3, Acts chapter 3. Acts chapter 3, verse 1. I'm going to read a fair bit of this. I hope you don't mind. Now, Peter and John went up together to the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. You'll see in chapter 2 there, the church has begun. They've seen many people get baptized and filled with the Spirit. So this is very, very early in the church's history, perhaps days, even weeks after what has just transpired. They went up to pray, verse 2. And a certain lame man from his mother's womb was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, "Look on us." And he gave heed to them, expecting to receive something of them. And then Peter said, "Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have give I thee. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately his feet and his ankle bones received strength. And he, leaping up, stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. And they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened to him. And as the lame man which was healed beheld Peter and John, all the people ran together to them into the porch that is called Solomon's, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered the people, "You men of Israel, why marvel ye at this, or why look ye so earnestly on us, as though by our own power or holiness we'd made this man to walk? The God of Abraham and of Isaac and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom you delivered up and denied in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But you denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you, and killed the Prince of Life, whom God has raised from the dead, whereof we are witnesses. And his name, through faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all." So an amazing miracle. A guy lame from birth is raised up and healed on the spot outside the temple in front of the crowd. And all the people said, great fun, great miracle. We've all experienced miracles. And all the people said, I've seen a woman stand up in front of my eyes, rheumatoid arthritis for 50 or so years, certainly bedridden, semi-bedridden actually, for I think about 11 years or so. She stood and walked in front of my eyes. She actually ran around the house and she never had the condition again. She was in her 70s at the time. Miracles. We've seen them. People you pray for. I remember being in New Guinea one time. We were with a group of blokes there, probably half a dozen of us or so, and there's a group of half a dozen unsaved folk listening to us. And as we're telling them the gospel message, all big scruffy sort of fellows these guys were, and as we're telling them the message, there's one guy who couldn't actually hear, and he's trying to follow the conversation with lip reading like this. You can see him just going backwards and forwards. And all of a sudden, as the gospel message is going out, all of a sudden he goes, "I can hear!" Just during the talking. You know, Brother David Cashman was telling me about a miracle he had when he was up there in New Guinea. A lady that had had a stroke, she was presented in a wheelchair. And the lady came forward during the prayer line and David was praying. And he said, he just said to her, "Stand up and walk." And she did, in front of his eyes. She stood up gingerly and she walked. She was healed. A little later on, she hadn't received the Spirit, but a little later on, and she couldn't speak as a consequence of her stroke. She'd had this for, I think, 14 years. And she, a little later on, just after she received the Spirit, she spoke in tongues and she could suddenly speak again after all that time. This is what the Bible is talking about. And all the people said, exactly this experience here. This is what it tells us to do. And as I say, one of the things that you do as human beings, all of us do it, we sometimes lose the map a little bit. And at camp, there's a great opportunity, hit the recenter button. Because our job here, it's not to go to work. It's not to raise a family. It's not to make a ton of money. It's not to build a big house. It's not even to build a cabin at camp. They look pretty luxurious, don't they? Our job is to preach the gospel, to be a witness to all nations and all the peoples there. And sometimes in life, we all think of different ways of going witnessing. I go door knocking, or, you go street witnessing and so on. You talk to your work colleagues, perhaps your neighbours, perhaps your relatives and so forth. Sometimes we devise even more elaborate means. Perhaps we have a radio campaign, or perhaps a Facebook campaign or something or other. Perhaps we show some prophecy slides. Perhaps we have some themed talks that we're doing, families and so on and so on. But at the end of the day, as we see in this story here, the best way to go witnessing is to do a good miracle. And all the people said, that's the best way. And as you come to camp, I want you just to think about that and try and recenter, refocus. We're here for a job. It's to preach the gospel. Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I'd be lucky if I've reached a couple of thousand, let alone the other 7.5 billion out there. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. There is no price. Jesus doesn't come back from heaven and say, oh, wow, you've got a Mercedes 600 SEL. Wow. You got a 3-story house. Wow, that's impressive. He doesn't come back for that. He comes back because our job is to be an ambassador for Jesus Christ. And the best outreach is signs, wonders, and miracles by the power of the Holy Ghost. Let's go back to the book of Romans just for a moment or so. Wondering how much time I've got. I haven't got my watch on. Don't offer me one. Romans chapter 15. The reason I chose this version of this wording in the Bible is because, have a look around it. Why Paul makes the statement, verse 13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. This is a principle that's repeated in other places, but what Paul is reminding us, the best way to stay strong in the Lord is to continue experiencing miracles by the power of the Holy Ghost. That'll help you stay strong. That'll remind you, if you think to yourself, oh yeah, I remember that last year I prayed for, the one with cancer, she got cured. I remember the lady 3 years ago that I prayed for, her son was, in hospital, looking very, very serious there. He got healed. I remember, and you think back different experiences that you've had where the power of God has clearly been what's done the job. And that reinforces, as it says, that you may abound in the hope. In the Greek there, it's the hope. The hope is the hope of everlasting life. Our confidence, our assurance, our determination to meet the Lord in the air. Miracles help us, as well as the unsaved. And all the people said. We sometimes forget that. Verse 15, nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly to you in some sort, as putting you in mind because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Lovely principle there, which I'm not going to go into now. I have therefore, whereof I may glory through Jesus Christ in those things which pertain to God. For I will not dare to speak of any of those things which Christ has not wrought by me to make the Gentiles obedient by word and deed, through mighty signs and wonders, by the power of the Spirit of God, so that from Jerusalem and round about unto Illyricum, I have fully preached the gospel of Christ. In other words, what Paul is reminding us here is the reason we want mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Spirit is because it's for preaching the gospel. It's better than any, locally devised human outreach that you can conduct. Do a miracle. It's as simple as that. And when I say as simple as that, perhaps we can talk about that, but that's what Paul is pointing out here. Let's focus on that over this camp. We've got plenty of time. I want to just point out another verse to you, though, over in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Holy Ghost. In chapter 12 here, Paul lists 9 gifts of the Holy Spirit. I think we've all read them many times and certainly have thought about them. 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all. We all pray in tongues and it benefits us. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, or gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he wills. And Paul points out here that these nine gifts of the Holy Spirit, they're available to all of us, and all the people said. And he actually makes the distinction between gifts of healings and miracles. And there are some miracles which are quite distinct. Obviously, healings are a subset of miracles, but and that's what people generally need. They need a healing. But there are lots of other miracles as well. I can remember thinking of people who've prayed. I remember one of the pastors in Africa prayed over a well because it was now only producing salt water, and it instantly began to produce fresh water. You know, lots and lots of things like that. I remember the brethren who were praying in a boat stuck in the Bismarck Sea up off New Guinea, and an experience which generally leads to death. And they were praying for a miracle, and it happened. They were hungry, they were thirsty, and a turtle just wandered up next to the boat. They pulled it in. If you're a bit squeamish, just block your ears. They cooked him in the boat and ate him. And then, of course, they're miracles. They're absolute miracles. God knows what he's doing. He looks after his people. People who've crashed their cars, people who've, had very strange experiences with, as I say, motor vehicles and all that sort of stuff. Others that have touched power cables that were live and somehow it had no effect on them. You know, and the next guy that picked up the power cable suddenly dropped dead, or got a massive jolt, and so on. There are lots of other miracles as well, but I do like the fact Paul reminds us, yes, that's all part of the gospel. And down a little bit in the same chapter, he reminds us, and I want to just press this point home a little bit, in verse 31, but covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Covet earnestly, the word covet earnestly there is zelo, and this is the end of my talk this morning. I'm not doing a long thing, but covet earnestly the best gifts. The word zelo is the word meaning to be zealous or jealous or to have zeal for. It's to be determined to get. It's to be someone who is dreadfully keen to get it. Covet earnestly the best gifts. We're told also down in chapter 14, verse 1, follow after charity and desire spiritual gifts. We're told to covet them and to desire them. You've got a great opportunity in the 12 days of camp, as I say, to press the recenter button and say, God, I want all of that. This is the best way to do an outreach, to do a miracle amongst my family or to do a miracle amongst my work colleagues or whoever it may be. God wants to do it. He's in the business of doing it. He always has been. Sometimes I think it might be us that gets a little distracted in the process, not God. God knew what he wanted to do the whole way through, and all the people said. Leave those few thoughts there this morning. But it is a great thing, through mighty signs and wonders by the power of the Spirit. Don't get me wrong, it's nothing to do with condemnation or not feeling good enough or anything like that. We're saved by grace, and all the people said. By grace you are saved, not by works, lest any should boast. But we just want more. We just want more of what God has. Humility will bring it. Seeking the Lord will bring it.